Today is Saturday, the 15th of April, 2023, and we are gathered here for the 78th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. I would like to wish all of you a happy Sri Lankan New Year, first of all. And also, I would like to welcome Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero with much respect, representing Nisarane Forest Monastery in today's session to this program on behalf of all of us attending through Zoom and Facebook live streams. And I would also like to welcome all of you with much respect for this program on mindfulness, joining through Zoom and also through the Facebook live stream of the Satipatthasala Foundation. Our program will run off with starting with in-session mindfulness practice, followed by the talk on mindfulness from Bhante, and then we will move on to the question and answer session where we will present written and verbal mindfulness statements and questions to Bhante for his insightful advice. So as a start, I would like to invite with much respect Bhante to commence with the in-session mindfulness practice that we have organized for today's session. Over to Bhante. Much merits.
Thanks, Namanta. Hello, everybody. So we will start our program with the practice session as usual. Probably we will take 20-30 minutes today to do a practice session related to mindfulness. So we are discussing a topic during this month. So today we try to do an activity related to this topic. This activity is about a healthy distraction. When you are emotional, when you feel that thoughts are troubling you too much, during such occasions, you can use different activities just to distract yourself a little. You can use them as healthy distractions just to distance your mind from the thoughts and emotions. You can use these activities as a way to be present. Instead of thinking about thoughts, instead about being emotional, getting caught in the emotions, you can use such small activities, these fun activities, just to distance yourself from the thoughts, emotions, just as healthy distraction. So during this time, we'll do this activity and we'll try to see how it changes our state of mind, how we can use these things to distract ourselves a little. That's the idea. For this, you need a pen and a piece of paper, right? So if you can quickly gather a piece of paper and a pen. If you have color pens, that's also fine. Otherwise, just a ballpoint pen would be enough. When you have gathered your stuff, if you can use the Zoom hand to show that you are ready. I can see that some of you are ready. You can participate more actively. You can turn on video and you can do this activity along with the group. So today, Nadeep would be demonstrating the activity. I would also do, but I can't show it, arrange it according to the camera direction, right? So Nadeep, if you can spotlight Nadeep Namanta. And Nadeep, I think you have to remove the background. So we invite all of you to do this activity along with the group. You can turn on video and you can also participate. Okay, so this activity is called walking a line, right? So this is a simple activity where you can do with a piece of paper and a pen. And we'll just, you know, draw a line on a piece of paper. And when you start, you are not going to lift your pen. Instead, you draw a line as you wish on that piece of paper, not a straight line, whatever the way, the design you like. You just draw and you make sure that the ends are meeting each other. So it will be a single line and various shapes, forms you can draw. And at the end, you join the lines together, right? So Nadeep will show, Nadeep will demonstrate, and we'll see how it is done. So you can see he's not lifting his pen. Instead, he's drawing a single line. You can draw whatever the shapes that you like. Seems like his trouble is with holding the paper. Isn't it, Nadeep? So you draw the lines freely, and at the end, you can simply connect the ends, make sure that the ends are meeting. So this is what I drew. Now, Namantha, can you see?
Yes, Bhante, I can see.
Freely allow your hand to move. You don't have to control it so much. Just whatever the shapes that come is fine.
This is what I have drawn.
Right, so that's a complex one. Nadeep was struggling with the holding the camera, I guess. Now it's a single line, right? You can see Nadeep's drawing. He made some shapes as well. So this is called walking a line. Then once you are done with the line, we start coloring the insides, right? Small pieces you can see inside your drawing. You can start coloring them. You use whatever the pens that are available. Maybe with a ballpoint pen, you can color various patterns you can draw. And we are going to color the inside sections. Nadeep, if you can adjust the camera a little bit and show, that'll be better, I guess. Now you can see he's coloring different sections using different colors patterns. I also tried with a single color. So the idea is to just do the drawing, just to get lost in the activity for a few minutes, just allow the natural rhythm to continue, just be there, lost in the activity, and that will create some ease in your mind that will help you to distract yourself from the day-to-day chaos. So that's the idea. This is just one example. You can pick your own hobbies, you can pick your own activities, whatever the things that work for you, you can pick. The idea is that these things are demanding us to be present, at least for a while, at least for a few minutes. We have to be present with the activity if we are doing it. And you don't need many things to do it. Just a piece of paper and a pen. Even at the end of a notebook, you can do. At the edge of a notebook, you can do. So these things are simple activities that we can use in our day-to-day lives to distract ourselves from our thoughts, emotions. They are used as healthy distractions to create some distance from these thoughts, emotions. So I hope you got the idea of today's activity. And I can see Nadeep is taking his time drawing some shapes, coloring some shapes. So this is my drawing. Namanta, how about yours?
My one, it's complex, even more complex and also random. Can you see one thing?
So these things are with a single color, as you can see, but you can use different colors as well. Whatever the available resources you can use just to do these type of activities. That's Nadeep's. I believe Nadeep wanted to create some shapes, faces, something like that. That's why you are struggling, right?
Yeah, Bhante, I wanted to draw a mom and a small kid next to her.
Right.
I didn't have any idea, you know, what to draw initially, but halfway when I, you know, riding through the pen, it came to my mind that, okay, let's draw, you know, mom and a kid.
Yeah, that's the way you allow the hand to flow naturally, move naturally, and it will decide the shape, it will decide the pattern. So just allow it to move freely, and some kind of a pattern will come up at the end, right? So thank you for volunteering for today's activity. He wasn't planning for it. We just grabbed him during the initial meeting. Anybody else would like to show their drawings, what you did?
I think Hiranti is showing. 1 second, I will.
No, Hiranti, if you can spotlight her.
Yes, 1 second, I will add the spotlight to Hiranti. Yes, we can see Hiranti's.
Then I guess Sonali
also. I haven't painted all. I haven't colored everything.
Yeah, you can take your time. Leisurely, you can finish the drawing. Just
thank
we
you.
Just have wanted to give you an idea. Yeah.
Okay.
Sonali, you have something? We should have selected her for the demonstrator. Right. Can you zoom out a little? Sonali, can you zoom out a little? Right, now much better. See, that's with a single color. Probably like a marker pen, some kind of a marker pen or something. So you can complete the rest and it'll be much more attractive. The drawing. Chamari, you also had has one? that background blur you have to remove.
Okay, can you see it now? Mine is very small. I had a very simple shape first, and then I changed to the bottom one, the middle one.
Right. Yes, so you have colored it and finished it.
Yes.
So that's the idea, just to give you an idea. So these type of activities, you can keep them in your toolbox, and whenever needed, you can use them just as ways to be mindful, simple activities, games that you can use to practice mindfulness. The idea with these activities is that they demand your attention. They demand your attention in the present moment. So that's important. That will allow us to distract ourselves from the thoughts, emotions, and just be present at least for a few minutes. Okay, so thank you for participating, everybody. I think you got the idea of the activity that we tried to do today. It wasn't pre-planned. It was just decided on the spot, and Nadeep volunteered. So thank you for Nadeep's volunteering. And we can move forward now, Mantra.
Thank you, Bhante. As soon as I finished drawing it, I could feel a different condition in the mind. Being because you are being focused to that for that small time frame, it is effective. Yes, thank you so much for introducing that to us. So with that, we would now move on to the talk on mindfulness as the next item on our session lineup. So on behalf of all of us, the invitation goes to Bhante to commence the talk on mindfulness practice. Over to Bhante, much merits.
Namanta, can you hear?
Yes, Bhante, I can hear.
Okay, everyone. So we will take some time to discuss a little bit more on the topic that we are discussing. Most of you are familiar with the topic that we have been discussing. We have been discussing the topic anger, which most of you can easily relate to. So this was our topic for month of April. And today, we will take some time explaining a little bit more of the practice and how we can relate this practice to the day-to-day difficulties that we are facing. Now, when it comes to strong emotions like anger, when it comes to strong thoughts, they have a similar type of a quality. What is the quality? What is the common quality that they have? They are usually very demanding. For example, if we consider anger or some strong thoughts, then you can see they are very demanding. They grab your entire attention. They grab your full attention. And usually they won't leave any attention left for you to notice their effects on your mind. When these strong thoughts, when these strong emotions come, they take our full attention. They won't allow any attention free for us to notice their effects. So this is how these strong thoughts, these strong emotions, they work. They are very demanding. When they come, they demand the entire attention. They demand our full attention. So when the thoughts are not so strong, when the emotions are not so strong, we can see that the thought is there, but there is some capacity for us to observe, for us to notice the other things as well. The emotions are there, but there is some capacity left for us to notice other things as well. But when the anger comes, when these strong thoughts come, they grab our full attention. They are very demanding and they won't leave any idling attention. They won't leave any extra attention for us to notice their influence, for us to notice their effects on our mind. So that is how these thoughts, these emotions, they work. Usually they grab our full attention. They won't allow any attention, any extra attention to be, right? So that's why these thoughts, these emotions, they are very demanding. When they come, they grab our entire attention. We can't even notice what is happening. We can't even be mindful what is happening. We get carried away with these thoughts. We get carried away with these emotions. And only maybe after a few minutes, maybe after a few seconds, you only notice that you got carried away with the emotion. You notice that you got carried away with the thoughts. Maybe when you notice, it's too late. Maybe you have said something. Maybe you have done something. It's too late for you to correct yourself. But at least, even after a few minutes, you are noticing that you got carried away with this emotion. You are noticing that you got carried away with these thoughts. That observation is valuable, but still, during the process, you don't have any control. The reasoning being that they grab your full attention. These thoughts, these emotions, they are very demanding. If they leave some extra space, if they leave some idling space, then of course you can notice that you are getting angry. You can notice that you get carried away with these thoughts. But what happens most of the time is that the emotion is so strong, the emotion is so demanding, it will grab the full attention. And you get carried away, you do things, you say things. Maybe later on, you regret. Maybe later on, you feel shameful because of the actions, because of the words that you have done. Right? So this is how the anger works. This is how these strong thoughts, emotions work. So you have to understand, we have to take a gradual approach towards these things. It's not like you can solve this within a week or two. It's not like you can solve this within few months. Instead, you gradually improve your practice. At least you notice the effects afterwards. You notice the shame in your mind. You notice the effects of things that you have done during the emotion. You notice the effects of things you have said during the emotion. Although it seems like it's too late, but at least you are noticing the effects. You are noticing the influence that these emotions, these thoughts have on our lives. That's a very, very good starting point. It may be too late for you to correct these things, but still you notice that you got carried away with the thoughts. You got carried away with the emotions. That very observation is important even after the actions are done. You simply notice that this is how I reacted. You simply notice this is how things happened, right? So that observation, you keep on watching, keep on doing that observation. Every now and then you get carried away with the thoughts, emotions, but later on you realize that you have done something shameful. You realize that you have done something wrong, maybe to your family members, maybe to your friends, we don't know, right? So this is how these things happen. So you have to gradually improve your practice, gradually improve your meditation. Now, when it comes to meditation, most people don't have an idea what meditation is. Because meditation, it's a cursed word. Various ways are there various methods are there, the majority of the people, they get lost in different ways, different methods. But what we recommend is, it's the mindfulness practice that we are recommending. We approach it as mindful sitting and mindful walking. That's the idea, that's the practice that we are recommending. So we recommend you to practice every day at least for 20 minutes of mindful sitting. If you can do daily, at least like 20-30 minutes of mindful walking, if you can do daily, that is the practice, that is the approach that we are recommending. Every day you spend some time trying to be mindful while walking, trying to be mindful while sitting. That is the gradual approach that you have to take towards these thoughts, emotions that are so demanding. Gradually you develop your mindfulness. Gradually you develop your strength. And every day you reserve some time for the practice. 20-30 minutes of sitting, 20-30 minutes of walking. And when we say mindful sitting, when we say mindful walking, it's better to understand what the exact practice is. Because some people, they confuse this practice with the concentration. They say that you have to walk and you have to keep your attention with a single object. They say you have to sit and you have to observe your breath. You have to keep your attention only with the breath. That's what most of the people are recommending. Most of the people identify as the practice. But when it comes to mindfulness, that is not our aim. That is not the goal. Keeping your attention concentrated on a single object, that's not the aim. That's not the goal. Instead, we try to be mindful. We try to continue with the mindfulness. What is mindfulness? That's the quality of being aware. When you are with the breath, you know that you feel the breath. When you are with the steps, you know that you feel the steps. When your attention goes to the thoughts, you know that you are with thoughts. When your attention goes to the sounds, you know that your attention is with sounds. When your mind is distracted, you know that your mind is distracted. When your mind is concentrated, you know that your mind is concentrated. That is the real practice. That is what we are recommending. Simply being mindful, continuing your mindfulness, continuing your awareness. That is what we are recommending. So when it comes to mindfulness, we say this quality is more like the quality of a mirror. What is the quality of the mirror? Mirror is creating this image. Various objects the mirror can create. It is just creating this image. It is just creating this reflection. That is the quality of the mirror. And when you see things through a mirror, you don't have to blame the mirror for that. Mirror is just reflecting. Mirror is just having that quality, that ability. So similarly, in our mind, there's a similar quality. That quality is called mindfulness. When it is reflecting thoughts, we know that it is reflecting thoughts. When our mind is distracted, we know that our mind is distracted. When our mind is concentrated, we know that our mind is concentrated. When our mind is with the breath, we know that our mind is with the breath. That mindfulness is just reflecting what is there. Mindfulness is simply showing what is there. So that's the real practice. Don't think it is keeping your attention with a single object. That's not the practice we are recommending. We are recommending mindfulness. We are recommending being mindful. And when you are mindful, as a result, at times, your mind gets concentrated. It comes as a result. It comes as a result of your mindfulness, of your repetitive practice. When your mind is concentrated on a single object, that's fine, that's good. But you can't maintain it for a while. Maybe it'll last for a few minutes, then it vanishes. When it vanishes, know that your mind is not concentrated now. That is the true practice. That is the continuation of mindfulness. Not keeping your attention with a single object. If you can keep your attention with a single object, it's better, it's good. But you can't do it all the time. At times your mind is concentrated, at times it is not. You simply know with the quality of mindfulness. You simply know when the mind is concentrated, you know that it is concentrated. When the mind is distracted, you know that it is distracted. This is the true practice. This is the real way. And while walking, we encourage you to observe your bodily actions more and more. While sitting, we encourage you to observe your bodily sensations more and more. That is our recommendation. That is what we recommend. But you can't always keep your attention there. Sounds come, they grab your attention. Thoughts come, they grab your attention. When they come, you can be aware that you are with the sound. You can be aware that you are with the thought. Then skillfully, gradually, you bring your attention back to the walking body. Gradually, you bring your attention back to the breath or the movement of your stomach. That is the true practice. Again and again, you get carried away with the thoughts. Again and again, you get carried away with the emotions. Again and again, you get carried away with the sounds. But you become aware and you return your attention back to the walking body. You return your attention back to the breath. That is the way of the practice. And we encourage you to maintain your attention more and more with the breath. More and more with the steps. But you have to understand that's not what we are practicing. We are practicing the quality of being aware. If you can keep your attention with the breath more and more, that's good. If you can keep your attention with the steps more and more, that's good. And as a beginner, we encourage you to practice that way. But you have to understand what is the real practice. You have to understand what is the mindfulness that we are doing. It's not concentrating your attention. It's just simply the quality of being aware. When your attention is concentrated on a single object, that's good. But when it is not, you don't have to worry about it. When the mind is distracted, simply know that your mind is distracted. When your attention is with the thoughts, simply know that your attention is with the thoughts. But that doesn't mean that you are encouraging the thoughts. That doesn't mean that you keep going after the thoughts. That's not the idea. There's a difference between getting lost in a thought and observing a thought mindfully. There's a difference. If you get lost in a thought, in a way, you are encouraging this thought process. In a way, you are fueling this thought process. That is what you have been doing all your life. You don't need instructions in order to do that. You have been doing that for a long time. When the revengeful thoughts are there, you encourage them. You think of ways to get revenge. You think of the past incidents that has happened. So that's encouraging these thought processes, encouraging getting lost in these emotions and thoughts. But when you are mindful, you create some distance from these thought processes. You simply know that you are lost in these thoughts. You simply know that your attention intention is with these thoughts. That very knowing will create some kind of a distance. So far, you have been encouraging, you have been fueling these thought processes. Now you are not doing that anymore. Now simply, you try to be aware that you are thinking. You try to be aware that you get these thoughts, emotions. With that awareness, you move your attention back to the walking body. You move your attention back to the breath. Or you move your attention back to the whatever activity that you are doing. So in a way, you are not encouraging these thought processes. You become aware that you are thinking. You become aware that these thoughts are there. Then you gradually, skillfully bring your attention back to the walking body, back to the sitting body, back to the bodily sensations that you feel when you do your day-to-day activities. That's the proper approach. That's the proper approach. If you think that you have to observe thoughts, that is a wrong way of practicing. Because most people, when they try to observe thoughts, when they try to watch their mind, the result is that they get lost in the thought processes. They start seeing things that are not there. They start thinking about various things that happened according to their wishes. Because these thought processes, because this mind is so skilled in deceiving us. When you allow it to flow naturally, it will take you wherever it needs. So that's why we don't recommend watching your thoughts as a practice. We don't recommend watching your mind as a practice. That's not the proper way of practicing. Instead, we say, just simply be aware that you're walking. Simply be aware that you're sitting. Simply be aware that you are doing your day-to-day activities. Give priority to the bodily sensations. Give priority to that you're walking. Give priority to that you're sitting. Give priority to that you are doing whatever the day-to-day activities. With that priority, you start observing your walking process. You start observing your sitting process. You start observing your day-to-day activities. Whenever you get carried away, you know where to return. You know your home. This body is your home. The bodily sensations are your home. Wherever you go, you can come back to your home. When you return to your home, you feel safe. You feel comfortable. So that's how we use our body. That's how we use our bodily sensations. When we are with the body, when our attention is with the body, when our attention is with the bodily sensations, we know that we are at home. We know that we can relax and we can be comfortable. So that way you can use your bodily sensations. That way you prioritize your bodily sensations. Otherwise, if you don't prioritize your bodily sensations enough, then you start talking about various blind faiths, blind beliefs. Various things are there. Meditators, they get caught in these processes. Meditators, they are the people who get lost in their thoughts, emotions. Because they start watching their mind. They get carried away with the mind. They start watching their thoughts. They get carried away with the thoughts. So we recommend again and again, come back to the bodily sensations. Again and again, come back to this simplicity that is the present moment. When you are in the present moment, it is simple. When your attention is with the present moment, you don't have complex thoughts. You are simply sitting. You are simply walking. You are simply doing your day-to-day activities. That's all you have. Nothing more complex. Nothing beyond that simplicity. If you can accept that simplicity, that is the very practice. Some people, they don't like to accept. Some people, they don't want to accept. They say, now I have meditated for so many years. I want to go to this level. Some people say, I have meditated for so many years. I am this level. So in the name of the practice, they try to grab some trophies. They try to grab some certificates. They say, I am Sri Mentri, signed by the teacher, certified. That's why they meditate. That's the achievement from the meditation. But if you are simply present, if you know that you are walking, if you know that you are sitting, if you know that you are drinking a cup of tea, that is the very practice that we are talking about. More you practice, more you will absorb into that simplicity. More you grow your practice, more you will acknowledge that simplicity. If you are thinking about complex achievements, if you are thinking about stream entry, if you are thinking about various other jhanas, then I assure you that you have got lost somewhere. I assure you that your practice is wrong. You have to return back to the simplicity that is there. You have to go and listen to the basic instructions once again. Some people, they get really mad when they hear it. I have been practicing for so many years. Now you are telling me to listen to the basic instructions. They complain. They complain. They don't want to go back to that simplicity. They say, I have done so many years of practice. How can I return to the simplicity? How can I return to the basic instructions? So if you have that attitude, then I assure you that you have gotten lost somewhere. That is sure. If your practice is really developing, you are simply present. Like a laughing Buddha, you are present. You are with the walking process. You are with the sitting process. There is nothing beyond that. There is no attainment beyond that simplicity. That is what we are aiming for. If your mind is accepting this simplicity, then you are simply like the Buddha. You have that quality of being present and you acknowledge that presence. You appreciate that present moment. That is the real practice. When your mind is concentrated, you know that your mind is concentrated. When your mind is full of thoughts, you know that your mind is full of thoughts. When your mind is full of anger, you know that you're angry. When you hear the surrounding sounds, when you hear the sounds of the birds, you know that you hear the sounds of the birds. When you feel the wind against your skin, you feel the wind. That very simplicity is what we are recommending. That very simplicity is the Buddha nature in your mind. So if you can appreciate that present moment, then I assure you that you are developing, you are progressing in your practice. When you practice more and more, more you will accept this simplicity, more you will accept this present moment. When you take that approach, little by little, you realize that there is some kind of a distance between you, the observer, versus this process that is going on. The thoughts are there, but you are not among the thoughts. Instead, you are this bystander observing these thoughts. The emotions are there, but you are not among the emotions. Instead, you are just this bystander observing these emotions. When the sounds are there, you are not among the sounds. You are just observing these sounds. So you can see the process is there and the observer is there. So there is a gap in between this process versus the observer. Otherwise, you become one. Both become one. You get lost in the thought and you are the thought. You get lost in the emotions and you are the emotion. And when the anger is there, you are the anger. When the revengeful thoughts are there, you are the revenge. But the practitioner, they become this bystander. Now you are not among the process. You are not among the things. Instead, you standing, you are observing this process. You are just simply a bystander observing this process. That very distance will give you the upper hand. When you have that distance, you are not caught in that process. You are not caught in that anger. You are not caught in those thoughts. Instead, you simply have this distance from these emotions. You simply have this distance from these thoughts. That very distance is important when it comes to these strong feelings, strong thoughts like anger. If you have that distance, then you have certain kind of a control over this emotion, over this thought. If you don't have this distance, then the thought, the emotion will grab your full attention and you don't even know that you got lost in that thought. You don't even know that you got lost in those emotions. But if you have that distance, in a way you have some idling capacity to notice that the anger is there. You have some idling capacity to notice that the thoughts are there. That very idling capacity will allow you to observe how the anger is influencing your life. You are angry and you know that you are angry. You feel these thoughts and you know that you feel these thoughts. When you have that ability, when you have that upper hand, then of course you have a choice. Then you have a choice not to react so swiftly. Instead, you take your time. When you have that knowing, then you can take some time to answer those incidents. You can take some time to answer those people. You can distract your mind with something else for a while. Then after a few hours, after a few days, you can respond to them. You can give them a feedback, or you can just simply be without doing anything. So that ability we are gradually developing. That's why even today's activity is important. Now during these critical times, during these difficult times, we simply take a piece of paper and we simply draw a pattern. That process will probably take few minutes only, probably like 5 minutes only. But when those 5 minutes are over, you have some kind of a distance from the process. You have distracted yourself with something else, and now you have a much better outview of the incident, or much better distance from the thoughts, emotions. With that distance, of course, you can respond much better. Without getting caught in these thoughts, emotions, you can respond to them. So that is the ability that we are developing little by little. You have to develop that skill. You have to be skillful how to deal with these emotions, how to take your sweet time, and then only you respond to these things. That's why they say when you fight at your home, you simply go for a walk. Don't just keep fighting. Instead, go for a walk. Go for like 40 minutes break. Then you can come back. Then you are having a bad day at work. Probably you can go for a coffee break and spend some time outside, and then you come back. You do similar type of a drawing just to distract your mind with it. You listen to surrounding sounds for a while. Instead of thinking of thoughts, you go and exercise. You go to the beach and spend some time there. So these are ways, these are tools that you can use you can use to distract your mind with these things. And when you return, you have much better control over things. You have much better view of the things that has happened. So that's how we gradually improve our practice. You have to support it with the formal practice. You have to take your time with the sitting. You have to take your time with the walking. Spend that time. Do it daily for 20, 30 minutes. And gradually, you realize that there's this distance between the process and the observer. And that distance will allow you to grow in your practice. That distance will allow you to have much better control over these thoughts, emotions. So that's the message I want to share today. I hope that your practice will mature in this manner.
Thank you so much, Bhante, for that insightful advice on very deeply meaningful advice on how to face situations that make us angry. So with that, the end of the talk happening, we would move on to the question and answer session, and I would like to invite Sonali to commence with the question and answer session. Thank you, Sonali.
Thank you, Ramantha. It's time for the questions and answers, and before that, we will share the beginner's guide to mindfulness for you, for any the benefit of any beginners. As Bhante explained before, we have recommended two videos by Nisaranwanaya, one for mindfulness walking and then about mindfulness sitting. As he said before, recommended time is 20 minutes, but you can start with any amount of time and then develop on to an hour or so each day. And watching these two videos will give you an idea of that. And then you can move on to writing the reflection reports. We have a report after this, which I will read, and you can understand how it is structured. We'd like you to tell about your mindfulness sitting practice and then mindfulness walking practice and about a time where you were mindful during the day. And now Mantha has just shared all these details on the chat session as well. Then you can share them with us. And we will present them to Bhante, and he will give his feedback and guidance for that. You can share it via the Google form or the email here listed here, beginnersnv@gmail.com. And now I will move on to the report. We have only one report received today, and I will start with that. Mindful walking. Walked outdoors as part of daily exercise. At the beginning, there were few different things on the mind, but pretty soon the attention moved to the sensations of moving feet. These sensations were different from walking barefoot indoors, where more areas of the soles in contact with the floor is usually noted. Now with the shoes on, it was a different feeling. Noted how the body weight shifted from side to side quickly with alternatively placing foot. Becomes aware of shoulders, back, stomach, and cheeks vibrating with the action of walking. Sights and sounds in the background noted. Focus was on the sensations of walking much of the time. Walked for 40 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion, and after a quick body scan, the breath appeared. In-breath was cooler and out-breath warmer. A feeling of calm was in the mind, and the breath shorter and more subtle now. Natural rhythm of breathing noted. After a while, this was replaced by thoughts from the past. Those passed away without proliferating. Awareness moved between rising and falling of the stomach and expansion and contraction of the chest. It was harder to notice the breath around nostrils area now. A wave of coolness swept through the body. This happened a couple of times and passed away. It felt like there was calmness internally and externally. Sensations of upper body felt as much less of the lower body noted. Very slight back and forth movement noted, but this too faded away and stillness noted. Become aware of the breath again. Boredom came up next. Thoughts about future started to proliferate. Wanting to end the meditation session, although there was some energy left to sit for longer if needed. Continued to sit and observe, sat for 55 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Speaking only when it is useful is still a new practice, but can see the difference in the mind when it chooses to observe instead of intervene. At these times, there have been calmness and lightness in the mind. Few people have noticed the silence and asking if everything is okay. Shared that I am experimenting the pros and cons of speech and silence. There were a few situations where irritation and annoyance arose in the mind. Then the awareness of trigger for those feelings became clear. With that, the choice of reacting or allowing things to be came up. Managed to let things be a couple of these times, and the other times reacted to the triggers, which happened so fast. Difference was the mind knowing it observed the emotional reaction. Dear Bhante, look forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to the organizers. That is the end of report, Bhante.
Okay, when you walk indoors, you can feel, if you walk barefoot, you can feel the difference of the various textures, right? So in your report, you have mentioned that you can feel the wooden floor when you are there. You can feel the carpet when you are there. You can feel the tiles when you are there. You can feel the cement when you are there. Various different textures are there. So even at least indoors, if you are walking barefoot, then you can keep on noticing while traveling. While walking here and there, you can keep on noticing how the different textures change. Probably there's a temperature difference as well, but the texture is also there, right? So when you walk barefoot, it's a good practice for you to keep on observing these differences in the textures. And since the summer is approaching, when you get more time outdoors, if you are walking barefoot, then you can really notice how these different textures are varying. When the grass is there, you can feel one way. When the sand is there, you can feel another. So it's a good habit. It's a good healthy way to keep on walking. You walk barefoot, you are grounded, and you keep on noticing these different textures. So if you can do that at least for a few minutes, few hours, then it's a very good way to develop your mindfulness. Every time you notice these textures, even when you are wearing shoes, even when you are wearing slippers, if you can notice these textures, if you can notice how the pressure changes, then you are mindful, then you are practicing. That is how we repetitively bring our attention to the mind through. Sorry, that is how we repetitively bring our attention to the body. The bodily sensations are there. It is our home. So we keep on returning to our bodily sensations. We keep on noticing our bodily sensations. Throughout the day, you can do this. So when you mention about different textures, that's what came to my mind. Now throughout the day, you can keep on doing this. Wherever you go, you feel some kind of a texture. Whatever you do, you have some kind of a bodily sensation. Keep on bringing your attention to that body. Keep on observing those sensations. Some people argue, what is the purpose of this? But more you observe, more you are present. That attention to the body, that attention to the present moment is so precious. Because you are training your mind again and again. This is the neuroplasticity at work. You train your mind to be present. Every time you notice your bodily sensation, you are being present. You are training your mind. You are training your brain to be in the present moment. So that practice is very important. That is why we repeatedly mention the bodily sensations. It is like returning to home. When you are at home, you are safe, you are relaxed. That is the proper approach towards your practice. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you have these bodily sensations. Bring your attention to that. Keep on observing. You don't have to be there forever. Instead, do your things. Once in a while, return to the body. Notice how you feel. Notice the difference of textures. Notice the bodily sensations. So that's a very good way to keep on practicing mindfulness in your day-to-day life. And then you mentioned something about experimenting with silence. That's a very good way to see, to observe the process to develop the mindfulness in your day-to-day life. Because when you start talking, you are lost most of the time. Talking process is so demanding. It grabs our attention and so many things are happening. You get lost in that process. And talking for hours and hours, you feel there are so many thoughts, so many emotions created because of these processes. So if you keep on being silent, if you practice to talk when there's a need, then you can see the effects of it. You can see how the comparison between the thoughts, the emotions, usual way of dealing with people, and more noble approach towards the silence. You can notice the difference between two. And it's a good way to be aware of your thoughts and emotions. Because when you start talking, that's more like a distraction. That's more like getting lost. It's more like a drug. That's why most people, they want somebody to be there. They can't be alone. They want somebody, a buddy, to talk. When that person is there, when the family members are there, when the spouse is there, you feel comfortable. You are talkative. It's more like a drug that you are addicted to. When you are alone, you feel the thoughts, you feel the emotions, you feel the nature of this mind. So it's a sign of maturity if you can be with your thoughts, emotions. If you can somehow accept them, they might not be pleasant all the time. But still, you are able to deal with them, you accept them, you somehow navigate among them. That ability most people, they don't have. They at least need a device, like a phone or something, a computer. They need a device to survive. Or they need somebody else, some other person to survive. When those things are there, they are happy, they are comfortable. When that device is not there, when that person is not there, then they can't survive. Because they keep ignoring these thoughts, emotions. They keep getting addicted in these drugs, these new age drugs like phones, internet, or talking to somebody else. Those are drugs. You are addicted. And when you don't have them, you can't survive. That's why there was this experiment with a silent room where they challenged people to go in this lab and stay as long as they can. So it was a silent room. All the walls, soundproof. And this person goes in. He can't take any devices or anything. He simply has to sit there for a while. How long you think they have survived? The maximum time is 40 minutes. Majority of the people, they scream, banging the door after 10 minutes. Why? When the environment is silent, when you have no distractions, you start to hear somebody. You start to hear your own mind. You start to feel your own emotions, thoughts. When you feel those things, you can't really survive. You become so fearful. You feel the nature of this mind and you want to run from it. As soon as you get outside, when you get to talk with somebody else, you are comfortable. As soon as you get your phone, you are comfortable. Dealing with these thoughts, emotions, it is so fearful. It is so scary that they scream after 10 minutes, majority of the people. The maximum time is 40 minutes. That's the maximum time they have stayed in that silent room. But the meditator, they can simply sit there for 55 minutes. That's your time frame, right? Simply just sit comfortably and be present. That's a luxury that you don't get most of the time. You don't get the distance from the family members. You don't get alone time. So at least for the sake of a silent room, if you get alone time, that's better. So you can see for the practitioner, this is more like heaven. For the worldly, the same situation, same environment, for the worldly, it feels like hell. That's why Buddha says, when you come to a forest, for the noble ones, for the practitioners, it's like heaven. And for the worldly, they feel fearful. They feel scary because the forest, it doesn't have any colorful things. It doesn't grab your attention. It doesn't distract you. So the same environment for the practitioner, it's like a heaven. For the worldly, it's like the hell. So that's why some people, maybe by mistake, they come here. Bante, I came to meditate. I am staying a week. That's how they introduce themselves. But 2 days pass by, they run. You can't even find them. You can't even find them. It's like their tails on fire. They try to run to their home. They try to run to the comfort. And somehow keep on ignoring this real problem. So you can see the same situation, a forest, a silent room, how it can be scary for the worldly, how it can be like a heaven for the practitioner. Most people, they don't have this ability to be with their thoughts, emotions. They need somebody to distract them. They need to talk with somebody. They need devices to distract them. They don't want to deal with this mess that's inside their mind. So when you develop your practice, you realize more there are silent rooms, better it is. More silence, better it is. More alone time you get, better it is. Even to your family members, you can say, I work for so many hours. I spend so many hours for you. Give me this time. Give me at least 1 hour of alone time. 1 hour of just sitting somewhere, being aware of my present moment. So that's the precious thing that you can appreciate, the present moment. Simply being aware, like the laughing Buddha. Simply know that your body is walking. Simply know that your body is sitting. Simply know that you are drinking a cup of tea. If you can appreciate that, then you know where to put your energy. If you don't appreciate, it's a never-ending process. You go one thing to another, finding pleasure, finding real peace, lasting peace, but you will never get there. So that's the idea. Thank you for sharing. And keep on practicing. You will come to realize, you will come to appreciate this solitude more and more. We call it the noble solitude.
Thank you, Bhante. That is very helpful for all of us. Thank you for the person who wrote the report as well. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of the time today, so we may not actually have time for any questions today. I think we will move on to end the session. Next week, maybe we can answer your questions, hopefully. Now, Mantha, we will hand over to you.
Thank you so much, Sonali, and much merits to you, and also much merits and thank you to Bhante for the wonderful advice received throughout the Q&A session as well. So since we are nearing the time to end the session, we would move on to wrap this up. I would like to mention with much gratefulness Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero coming to this session and participating and providing much needed advice and a deep guidance on mindfulness practice in this manner. And we can take that forward and apply to daily practice and also the standard mindful walking and mindful sitting sessions this way. So I would like to share these merits with Bhante and wish for Bhante's own practice to advance based on these merits. I must also mention the contribution from the Chief Bhante to initiate this program. Most Venerable Bhante Udayiregam Dhammajeeva Mahathero, who requested this program to be initiated. So I would like to pass his merits on to him and wish that his own practice will improve with those the powers of those merits. And also, I would like to share these merits with the organizers who initiated and who are continuing this program in this manner, and wish that their practices will also get positively impacted with these merits. Also, it is my duty to mention that all of you who are present in this session form the basis for the sessions to run as a program continuously. So thank you very much for your presence in Zoom as well as in the Facebook live stream. I would like to share these merits with you and hope that your own practices will improve with the power of these merits. Now, our session is the sessions will run on a weekly format every Saturday at 1 p.m. Sri Lankan time, so that you can reference against your geographical positioning across the world to that time format. And then I would like to wish you a happy and mindful week ahead, and invite you to participate in the session next week. And we will wrap up today's session as of now. So have a mindful week ahead, and we'll meet same time on next Saturday, same Sri Lankan time next Saturday on this program. Thank you.